Now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks, it's time for the Fashion Rewired podcast with Brian Hill. During the Fashion Rewired podcast, we chat with successful fashion designers and business entrepreneurs who share their powerful stories of success while providing real-time industry tips, tools, and actionable strategies to execute today with the goal of designing our listeners' brands for success. Now, here's your host, Brian Hill.
Welcome to Fashion Rewired, the podcast. I'm Brian Hill, self-taught designer and executive director of Phoenix Fashion Week. We always like to talk about Fashion Rewired, that transformation of your brain, your attitude, your approach to life, and also your business. Each week I meet with different designers and entrepreneurs that are doing that every day and have had success after some turmoil or some hurdles or different directions or pivots. And today I'm talking to a really good friend of mine, Chris Dietert out of Los Angeles. He has done so much in fashion and PR. He has a lot to say, and I'm really, really excited to talk to him today because he and I have a funny story. We met at a trade show a bunch of years ago, and I was wearing a watch that he was actually representing. And because I was trying to get closer to this brand at the time, the only way he would pay attention is when he saw the same watch that I had, he also had on as well. And he said, okay, he's credible enough to talk a little further. That is years later, and we're really good friends now. So Chris Dietert, how you doing?
Doing great, Brian. How are you, man?
I'm doing really good. Thanks for being on Fashion Rewired today. I want to tell people about you a little
bit
as well. Yeah, sure. Originally from Boca Raton, Florida, living in Los Angeles now. Excelled in high school football. Mm-hmm. Has a voice, sang in some rock bands in college, and partied a lot at Pepperdine, where he did get his degree.
That's correct.
He did get his degree in advertising. I love that. Worked early on for the group Von Dutch. We remember those hats. He did his thing, working with Jay-Z and all these other entertainers, building that up. He's been written about in the Wall Street Journal numerous times and opened his own PR firm on his own called American Rebel PR, which is when I first met him. Had his own TV show on MTV called Hired. He even started a clothing line with Stone Temple Pilots frontman Scott Weiland. Now, he co-founded and is running and building the industry's leader in influencer marketing, aptly called Influential. Is that enough, or is there more to say about Chris Dietert? Tell us.
Actually, hearing all of that in a synopsis sounds pretty cool. But yeah, I guess that's sort of the arc of my career thus far. And it's been a hell of a ride.
Amazing. So one thing we like to talk about is in this Rewired deal is when go back to when you rewired your brain or your approach to business, fashion, PR, and what you're doing now. Tell us about that story and what caused the rewire, and we'll go further from there.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different rewirings that happened at different pivotal moments in my career. I mean, I would say, straight out of college, I went from, this crazy party guy that liked to have a lot of fun and had to get into the working world. And so, immediately I had to get serious and, got involved in a company called The Firm, which was in the early 2000s, that ended up being the top entertainment management company of its time. We represented artists like Britney Spears and, Limp Bizkit was huge back then, and all kinds of, studio talent like, Leonardo DiCaprio and Samuel L. Jackson. And, so getting into that mindset and, dealing in the Hollywood world was sort of my first rewiring. And then I would say, after that, I sort of changed up about 2 years later and had sort of my pivotal career moment in terms of the fashion business, getting the opportunity to work at the upstart fashion brand Von Dutch when it was truly an upstart. It was about a $2 million fashion brand. And I got the opportunity to come in as a marketing assistant. And within a year, I was the vice president of marketing. And this was,
wow.
I was 25 years old at the time. Yeah. And it became a $100 million fashion phenomenon. My, core responsibility was the press and the celebrities. And at that time, this was a highly coveted celebrity brand. It was not uncommon to see celebrities just coming in on one single day at their own will. I had Beyonce and Sheryl Crow come in 45 minutes apart from each other, and had the pleasure of putting a hat and T-shirt on Jay-Z, all stuff that's not even possible these days anymore, because celebrities now know their value in terms of how, you know, how important it is to put brands on celebrities. Back then, they just wanted cool, free stuff. And so they would come in on their own will, and we would get to, you know, dress them up like a Ken or Barbie doll, you know, with Von Dutch stuff. Yeah. And, you know, it made the brand instantly worldwide famous and made millions and millions of dollars. And I think the blueprint of that, you know, beget a bunch of other brands that were similar, and also, you know, kind of created the celebrity model of, you know, after that, you started seeing a lot more celebrities, you know, people like Jessica Simpson, people like Jay-Z, starting their own fashion labels and realizing that, you know, celebrities had such a equity as far as a brand was concerned, that they could build it around their own image and use their own name and, you know, make millions of dollars off of it. So, you know, that was another rewiring for me. Yet another one after that was, you know, when I decided, you know, I loved what I was doing with Von Dutch, and I started being asked by lots of different people to kind of replicate that model of success for other companies. And rather than going and working for someone else, I decided at this point that I was going to start my own PR agency. And this was back in 2006. And, you know, so I had to rewire myself from being an employee to being an entrepreneur, sure, which was probably the best thing I could have ever done. And, you know, that was a very, very exciting time. And I actually got Von Dutch to go with me as a client. And I also, you know, found a new client in a surf skate shoe company called Osiris. And so those were my first two clients. And, you know, that was just the beginning. And I, you know, at my height, I had probably about 40, 45 clients at once and about 20 employees. And, you know, it was a really exciting time, especially being, you know, 27 when I started this business and, you know, had a very, very good run at it, and kind of got to know the ins and outs of how to run a business and all the disciplines that that takes. You know, on the outside, I think a lot of people think it's, you know, a very glamorous thing, and you see those highlight moments and it's like, oh, that's awesome. But, you know, to prepare yourself for being an entrepreneur takes a tremendous amount of dedication, and really you have to, you know, work all facets of the business. And, you know, there's a lot of less than fun moments that you have to deal with, but, you know, that was a huge part of my growth.
I love it. We're going to talk about that, because a lot of our listeners are these young entrepreneurs and fashion designers that are either coming right out of design school or they did work for someone else. And to go from employee to entrepreneur to owner of your own brand, the PR firm, I want to talk about that a little more. What was step one when you were working for Von Dutch? You're making probably good money. You're having great success. You're building relationships with all these top celebrities and entertainers. What was your first step to leave to do your own shop?
Yeah, I was really fortunate. I had a guy named Jay Wilson who was who is still a mentor of mine, and he came in to do a marketing consultation of Von Dutch. This was towards the end of the popularity cycle of Von Dutch, where, you know, things weren't just happening magically like they were in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So the CEO wanted to find out what we could do to improve the company, and so he brought this guy in, and for 3 months this guy sat with me every single day, and we went to lunch together. And, you know, at the end of 3 months, he pretty much had deduced that Von Dutch was a trend that had come and gone. And, you know, that he was consulting for a number of companies, and one of them was this surf skate shoe brand, Osiris, down in San Diego. And he, you know, he was like, you know, one of the only tremendous values here is you and what you do. And I would love to work with you in other capacities. And he said, I'm about to do a corporate takeover at this company, Osiris. They're going to install me as president. And when they do, I'd love to, you know, bring you in and have you do all the marketing and PR for this company. I will, you know, treat you as an agency. I will pay you a large monthly retainer, and you don't have to come and move to San Diego to do this. You can stay in Los Angeles and do your Hollywood thing. Mm-hmm. And so that sort of planted the seed in my mind that, you know, a lot of people who start entrepreneurial ventures have to, you know, kind of leap before they look. I had a very significant opportunity that sort of laid the groundwork for it. And so when I went to resign from Von Dutch knowing this, I actually got my cake and got to eat it too, because the owner of Von Dutch was like, you can't leave. You know, we'd be in a real bad position without you. So how do I make it work? And I said, basically, the only way it can work is if, you know, you guys become a client of my agency. And so, you know, and I quit a job and ended up having two clients right out of the gate.
I love it.
And so that made it a lot easier.
So step one is you identified your value, right? Because your value is what the marketing person told you was super high. And then it was exercised when you went back to Von Dutch. Your value was super high because if you weren't good at doing your job at Von Dutch, they would have happily said, go ahead and go. But you were able to eat your have your cake and eat it too. So at that point, you now have your own shop. You've got two big brands already. What was step two in the success of that new shop?
So then it was just like actually making it happen. So, you know, it sounded great in theory, but then I had to go and get an office space, and I had to figure out how to hire employees, you know, how to get the whole thing set up. And it wasn't like there was like, you know, months to do it. I basically made this decision, you know, at the end of the year in 2005, like in late December. And I basically popped up shop and started in January. And so, you know, at the time, I actually remember I was working half of the day I would work out of my home. And then the other half of the day I would go into Von Dutch. And that was just based out of purely out of the fact that I didn't have a place of business. And
wow.
So I would basically do my Osiris stuff in the mornings, and then I would do the Von Dutch stuff in the afternoons. And I think it was probably like 3 or 4 months in before I ever even got an office space. And you know, and then once I did that, I had a place to work out of. But it was funny at the time. What I was doing is that, you know, Osiris would send me shoes, and I had so many of them, and I just had them at my house, and it was like a 500 square foot house. So I built a tent in the backyard, and it was a big tent. And I literally kept a stock of 400 or 500 pairs of sneakers in this tent. thank God it was waterproof.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I would load these things into my trunk, and I would, you know, I would pop open my trunk and meet celebrities, you know, in a parking lot and give them shoes. And
wow.
I have a funny story, actually. This one time I did that with the singer Brandy. And so I actually met her in the Scientology Center parking lot, and I pulled out the shoes, and she was like, is this all you got? I'm like, yeah, it's all I brought with me. She's like, well, I got to get more shoes tonight. What do I got to do to get some shoes tonight? And I'm like, well, I guess you could come back to my house. And so she actually followed me back to my house in, you know, Laurel Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she came in and she sat on the couch and she was throwing the tennis ball to my dog that just kept bringing her back a slobbery ball. And I told her, I was like, oh, let me go back into my stock room and get some more shoes for you.
The stock room,
which is the
tent.
I literally ran out to my tent and I pulled her every pair of shoes I possibly could. And, you know, I prepared to be like Al Bundy, the shoe guy, you know, putting shoes on her at my couch at home. And, you know, we ended up, you know, she ended up liking a bunch of the pairs. And I have all these photos of her sitting on my couch at my house, you know, trying on shoes. And you know, that was, you know, a lot of the value to brands back then was being able to deliver photos of celebrities in their product. And
sure.
So, you know, my product shots with Brandy were on my couch at home. So
and your dog make those shots?
The dog was in one or two for sure.
Oh man, that's amazing. So step two for you is to get into water that was too deep to swim in. You just opened up the shop and just did it. I love that. And the Von Dutch people were probably happy you were there half the day, not realizing you had no office space. It's even crazier.
Yeah.
And then step three might be trying shoes on Brandy. But what was the real step three in the success of your American Rebel PR?
I would say that it was scale. You know, I quickly realized that I could not be a one-man army and do this all myself. So I reached back to a very good friend from my college days, my old college roommate, and he ended up coming in as one of my first employees, and we just built it from there. And You especially in a business like PR, it's service based, and you only have so many hours in a day to service clients, and so you have to scale up and you have to build accordingly. And so, you know, I'm bringing in new staff, and I'm also, you know, sort of like, you know, multitasking, because at the same time you're constantly trying to bring in new clients and drive new revenue. So it was always playing this balancing game of, you know, how much money do I have to allot to employees, you know, based on how many clients I have. And PR is a finicky business. And, you know, if somebody's not happy as a client, they can, you know, they can end a contract right away. And, you know, if you're planning for, you know, a $50,000 a month budget, and all of a sudden you lose $10,000 because a client backs out, you know, it really significantly affects your bottom line and affects your staffing needs. And I always hated to be in the position of, you know, having to fire somebody or having to downsize because of, you know, the fluctuation with clients. But it was sort of just the nature of the beast. And so I had to learn how to reconcile that and how to balance all of that.
Wow. I was going to ask you, going from partying at a Pepperdine and having a great time, obviously you're a super likable mm-hmm. person. Then you go work for Von Dutch, this, you know, behemoth of a brand to 100 million. Start your own brand as well, American Rebel PR, your own shop. Tell me about some of the habits, the natural habits that you now, that have come out of all the things you had to do when you had to force yourself into the deep water. What are some natural habits that came out of that?
I would say probably one of the biggest and most important ones is strategizing. Mm-hmm. I think... you know, a lot of people look at the weekends as, you know, their personal time and their time to have fun and all that sort of stuff. And I'm definitely guilty of that at the same time. But I try to, like, every Sunday, at least by the evening time, sit down and sort of map out a plan for the upcoming week. You know, even in some cases, if I have a really busy, like, email sort of week, I'll queue up, you know, like, you know, 20 emails or whatever, and basically have them ready to go so that when I wake up, you know, early the following morning on Monday, like 8 or 9 a.m., I'm ready to just, like, fire these things out. And I sort of have a plan of attack in line. And, you know, it just allows me to, you know, a lot of people wait until Monday morning to start making their plans for the week. My philosophy on that is that kind of puts you behind the game. And I think the people who are really successful and tactical are the ones that make those plans ahead of time and roll into the week, you know, with some solid momentum, as opposed to, you know, coming from a still start.
That's great. I mean, strategizing on Sunday, I definitely do that myself. I love looking ahead and just trying to be ahead of the game a little bit, right? Queuing up emails, I also do the exact same thing. Sometimes emails do look alike, but they don't know that if you're sending out 10 different ones, as long as you don't copy and paste Von Dutch into the Osiris email. And starting on Sunday, like you said, the momentum, and you feel better about yourself on Monday morning because those seeds are out there, right? And they're kind of come back as sproutlings over the next couple of days. But your people feel that you just got up at 6 a.m. and just did that from scratch, and also probably makes you look better.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just makes you feel better overall.
I don't know the answer to this one, but after all these habits and the different things you've done, I know you have this new venture that is going amazing, influential. Where you work with influencers from all over the world. But out of the habits and what you've done, would this be your biggest accomplishment going forward?
Influential, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, you know, whenever you're in the moment doing something, you believe that it's something that's really big. And then as you grow and accomplish more, you realize, you know, how far along you've come. And yeah, I mean, influential is ridiculously huge for me now. You know, what started as a company, which doesn't sound like that long ago, but when you're talking about the influencer space, you know, we're sort of like grandfathers of the influencer space. And, you know, we got in very early and we started, you know, it actually started with us throwing, you know, going back into my PR days and throwing parties at Coachella and the Electric Daisy Carnival and inviting a lot of the biggest influencers that are now, you know, mega stars that are, you know, doing, you know, 60 Minutes and stuff like that and are making millions of dollars. These were, you know, young kids who were just, you know, they were famous on social, but it wasn't a huge thing yet. And so we were doing all of these parties with them, and I actually got, through my PR contact, got Entertainment Tonight to come and cover it. And that really put it on the map in a huge way. And at the same time, we were running campaigns at these events and onboarding some of the biggest stars of the influencer community onto our platform. And it sort of just had this like snowball effect, and we built really quickly. And one of the things that I didn't ever touch in my previous business was getting investment money. And so we ended up doing a seed round of funding. We ended up doing a Series A round of funding. We're currently about to close our Series B round of funding. And so it really allowed for scale in a big way. And, you know, now we have close to 80 employees. We have offices in Beverly Hills, New York, and Las Vegas. And we're just, as a company, you know, a very formidable company that deals with, you know, mostly Fortune 500 level brands. And so, yeah, it's really exciting. And the access that I get to, you know, CEOs and CMOs of, you know, major Fortune 500 brands, and getting the opportunity to go and, you know, speak at marketing events, you know, it's really on a whole new level, and it's very exciting.
That is. We always like to thank our sponsors for supporting Fashion Rewired. The Phoenix Fashion Week Top 40 Model of the Year Competition. With each new year of Phoenix Fashion Week, so too begins our various competitions, including Model of the Year. Meant to support and nurture our local fashion talent, this competition has achieved not only immense growth and range, but most importantly, numerous success stories for our models have been involved. More information on Model of the Year, phoenixfashionweek.com/models. Because you have another brand influential, I'm going to take you into what we like to call the garment district. Because you know fashion and PR and entertainment, are you ready to go into this little area, the garment district?
Let's go.
Okay, let's go. So when it comes to influential, this new brand where you work with influencers and also big brands around the world, Fortune 500s, are you looking at it as a wholesale play or a retail play? Meaning retail, you're dealing with end users, or are you working on the wholesale side where you're distributing out this information?
We are primarily B2C, which means business to consumer or customer. Mm-hmm. So basically the mechanism that we work in is that we are basically like an ad buy for influencers. We, you know, get a contract from a company, let's say like a, you know, Walmart gives us like $250,000 to run a campaign. We'll then go and we'll get a number of influencers to participate in the campaign and pay them a fee. They will create content with, you know, the help of us and suggestions. You know, they'll create content and then they'll send that content out. And basically where it is, where it's B2C is, you know, B being like the Walmart and then C being the end consumer that is reached through the influencer posting and creating content that reaches that end consumer.
Beautiful. I know it took you as far as Africa, the company Influential. Mm-hmm. Tell me about a couple stories or one powerful story that since you started Influential where you really moved the needle for a brand or a person or a cause that really is close to your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, since you mentioned Africa, I can talk about that. That was a very, very cool opportunity. This was back in 2015. We actually had a relationship with the United Nations, and we did a philanthropic campaign for them. And this was for an awareness of World AIDS Day, which is December 1st. And so we, in October, I flew out to Malawi, which is the poorest country in the world in Africa, alongside the television show host Ricky Lake and about five of my influencers. Mm-hmm. And we were doing this in partnership with Facebook. And Facebook, you know, was doing a short form documentary about World AIDS Day. And our job basically was to go fly over there and capture firsthand, you know, all of the atrocities of AIDS and how it affects, you know, a poor country like that, that, you know, is just riddled with the AIDS virus. And so we ended up going to a school called the Jacaranda School there that I think had about 300 kids. And from what they told us, about 90% of them or 95% of them came from families that, you know, either they were born from parents that were HIV positive or had, you know, contracted the disease. A lot of them didn't have parents anymore. And so it's just this really, really sad scene. But, you know, despite all of that, it's amazing to see how happy these people were. And it was a really like, you know, it was a horrible experience and an uplifting experience at the same time. And we were able to get this, you know, fantastic footage. And we also visited hospitals. And, you know, so we were able to create this beautiful piece of content. And then we ended up going on World AIDS Day to Facebook headquarters in New York, and we released it on Facebook, but then also used our network of influencers, especially the ones that went on this trip, to promote it and, you know, really make a huge viral awareness about it. And then we surrounded it with, you know, a whole press tour where we went to, you know, the Huffington Post and People Magazine, and Entertainment Tonight, and really got to spread the awareness of this in a huge way. So, wow. You know, that was really one of the most exciting campaigns. And, you know, not only was it, you know, hugely beneficial for, you know, the UN and creating awareness about World AIDS Day, but it was one of those things that really like makes you feel good about, you know, doing some good in the world.
No doubt. And being in Los Angeles, I'm sure you've been around a bunch of brands that didn't care about other people, but it must have felt great for Influential to do the right thing for a lot of amazing people. And so much goodwill has come out of that. Kudos to that, Chris, for sure.
On social, thank you. Yeah, we really love the charitable aspect, and we always try to, you know, we're very much a for-profit business, but we, you know, I always say with, you know, the quote with great power comes great responsibility. I feel that that's definitely, you know, something I take to heart. And, you know, we have this platform to deliver all of this awareness through social. And, you know, whenever we can point that in the direction of good and help people, we always want to do that.
That's awesome. You brought the nerd side a little bit. I heard Spider-Man quote in there. Earlier, we talked to someone who talked about Star Wars. So we're keeping it geeky today, which is cool. you know so much about social media. I know everyone wants to know from you. Tell me the platform, your number one go-to social media platform that you feel for a fashion designer up and coming is going to be the go-to that can help them jumpstart.
Without a doubt, it's got to be Instagram these days. You know, it's truly a visual medium, Instagram is. And, you know, for fashion, I think it's not only about showing pictures of clothing, but it's also conveying a lifestyle. And, you know, rich imagery is really the key to a, you know, a successful social media campaign when it comes to fashion brands. And, you know, not only is this the case for fashion brands, but just in general, Instagram is the most powerful, most highly engaged social media tool that there is right now.
Can you share one secret that you have your influencers doing now that really makes their clients and your clients super happy? Is there one secret you can give us?
I think really one of the most important things, you know, as far as an influencer tip is just making sure that you be authentic. And by this, I mean, you know, creating content that makes sense for your audience and aligning yourself with brands that are authentic to your own interests. You know, there's so many influencers out there that are doing teeth whiteners and protein powders, and you know, they're basically just trying to make money, and they're not being conscious of who their audience is. And you know, it's sort of like you have this great responsibility to continue to entertain your audience, even if you're trying to market a product and trying to, you know, advertise and make money. It doesn't mean that you can all of a sudden go off the rails and do something silly and you know, make content or push a brand that doesn't make sense to your audience. It always has to be authentic to who you are as an influencer, and you have to work with brands that make sense for you and vice versa.
Right. And if you go through your whole career, when you listen to this arc of your career that I said in the very beginning of the show, you're doing exactly what you've been doing from day one. You do it on a bigger scale than the very beginning, but those habits that you talked about in the beginning, you're still executing them now. And it's pretty great because to give back, right, being authentic, being consistent and using Instagram, any young designer has a shot these days.
Absolutely. Yeah, you just have to be willing to work harder than the others. You need to, observe other successful people. I highly recommend picking, celebrity mentors of sorts and model yourselves after their careers. If you like a specific designer, especially very well-known designers, find out their story. Really look for the keys that they, the things in their career that really made things change for them and try to implement that into your own success.
Right, right. Do you have any time to read books? If you do, I want one that you're reading that we should read to succeed.
Mm-hmm. I wish I had more time to read books, to be honest with you. And it's funny because I have all these friends now that are quasi-famous and such that are handing me their own books all the time. And I have a stack of them, and I keep saying that I want to read them, especially because I feel bad when they're like, oh, did you read my book? But one of my favorite books that I read a few years ago that I would recommend for anybody is Malcolm Gladwell's The Tipping Point.
Yes.
It's a fantastic book. It's really, it talks about what things have to happen in order for something to really like take off. And so it talks about those steps, and it's a short book. It's an easy read, but it's something that you can apply across the board, whether it be fashion or business in general, or just, sort of life success. So I highly, highly recommend that one.
That's awesome. I read it. I still continue to read it. And you're right. It's amazing the things that have to fall in place for it to hit that tipping point to explode your brand or design. What are you excited about the rest of 2018, Chris, that we can look forward to for Influential?
We're just about to close our Series B round of funding, which will, put a lot of money behind us, which gives us the power, as somebody who runs the marketing and communications, to have the ability to be involved in more events and to travel to more places and really spread the message of what we're doing and connect with other high-level business professionals. It's really exciting for me. In like 2 months, I'm going to Cannes Lions in France, in the south of France, which is, almost like a vacation, but it's work. And that's just a phenomenal, brand interaction point where you're dealing with, the highest level, C-level executives and making deals all while drinking rosé on the Riviera. It's a pretty cool experience.
Well, that's on my bucket list to go to the film festival. It's on my bucket list to drink some rosé. It's on my bucket list to get a Series C. So all those are, maybe I can share that with you. How can people find you, Chris, online or at the website?
Yeah, so my Instagram is at Chris Dietert, the same for Twitter. Our company Instagram is at influential_CO, and you can also find Influential on the web at influential.co.
That's fantastic. As always, we're going to build a blueprint for Chris Dietert, Dietert, and you'll be able to download that for free at Fashion Rewired. And you can take some of Chris's action steps and maybe get some of his visionary habits that he's built and apply them to your own fashion brand. Chris, I'll see you at Phoenix Fashion Week in October. Thanks for being on Fashion Rewired.
Looking forward to it. Thanks so much, Brian.
Phoenix Fashion Week at Talking Stick Resort, October 18 through 20, 2018. Phoenix Fashion Week is the leading fashion industry event in the Southwest. The organization's mission is to bridge the gap between national and international designers and premier retailers and top fashion media. Phoenix Fashion Week's ultimate goal is to garner global exposure for Arizona's fashion industry through educational fashion seminars, year-round fashion events, and charitable partnerships. Phoenix Fashion Week is gaining rapid acclaim for its community service efforts and for infusing world-class innovation into the Southwest. For more information and tickets, phoenixfashionweek.com.
Thank you for joining us for our weekly 30-minute podcast focused on the business of fashion. Fashion Rewired is all about the successful transformation of your mind, perspective, and daily approach to your fashion brand. Make sure you listen next week for the Fashion Rewired podcast with Brian Hill.